I know what I know. Let the now and know what you know. I know you know
we
it.
We know what we know. But none of us knows a thing about youth hockey.
Hello and welcome to Youth Hockey Podcast Season 4. You taking notes, Coach?
Yeah.
Season 4.
Wait, is it Season 3? You're right. Season 4.
Episode 10, where the subject of dementia will creep in at some point. Don't worry. All of us are all in a downward spiral. But we'll try to get off that ride for just a minute and talk to you all about hockey and youth hockey and all the wonders that it brings to all of our lives. So first off, I just want to relate a little short story that I loved. And you know, I'm not a person that advocates violence. Lance, you can back me up on that.
Yes, I'm the family that advocates violence.
Correct. Lance loves violence. He thinks it's something that should be part of our daily lives. And actually, David was the person who wrote the first three Purge movies. So you know he has a problem with violence. Or no problem.
Come on. I tried to envision a perfect world.
Right, where you could kill people on one day for 24 hours. And that's a great idea. Anyway, I don't usually go here, but I'm going to show you my weakness and go here. So, Lance, my two sons were playing in the in-house hockey league, and you know my one son has got a bit of a mouth on him, right?
Yes. No,
you know who I'm talking about, right?
I do, exactly. Yeah, there's a younger and an older, and yes. I know which one you are talking about.
Yes, exactly. Now, the younger one has started going to the gym, and he's built like a brick shithouse now, so he is really ripped. And the older one has been working his mouth for so long, his mouth is about as ripped as can be. So he's jawing at somebody. And this guy, obviously, you know, he really doesn't like the older son. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to get into a physical confrontation with him. And just casually, they came back from, and, you know, I was like, how'd the game go? Oh, it was good. You know, this is good. And the older son, because my younger son never plays with violence or anything like that. But I guess this guy stepped up on the older brother, and the younger brother came in like a friggin' freight train and flattened this guy. And I couldn't have been prouder as a father. And I'm, you know, this is an old dude, by the way. This is like
is beer league. So people
beer league, right? Yeah.
You understand, not right?
So he's trying to like hit my older son with his fists or with his gloves and stuff
right.
like that, trying to be a dick. Right. And the younger one, who has never, I think, laid a check in his life out of anger or anything, I guess just came in and flattened this guy. Absolutely left him on the ice in a way that was, everybody went, whoa, you know, so, and the guy who was obviously instigating a fight got thrown out of the game, and the son that that flattened him got a 10-minute major.
Nice.
I do have to, you know, like I am.
It was
not
worth every minute of that 10 minutes, wasn't it?
It was so worth. His father, and don't tell him that you ever, because he'll never listen to this. He thinks his father's a dork, right? He'll never listen to this. But I was so proud hearing that story, that the middle son stepped up and protected the older son, and the older son was surprised as anything that had happened too. You could tell in his voice that it was like, and guess what happened, man? Dude, this guy was like, hit me in the face,
right?
All of a sudden, holy shit, you know. Yeah, and like, yeah. Yes. And so
this is the tale, yeah, of many brothers.
I know, but I well up thinking about it. I'm like, damn it, if my middle son just isn't like aces on so many things. But this is not something I expected from him. This is something that I don't like to glamorize or glorify, but I can't help it.
No, let me ask you, Randy. Yeah, did your son sit back and reflect and say, okay, now I understand the Alexander boys?
I think he did. This was the kid that one of your sons ran over once in an in-house game. and he said, oh, whatever, sorry, dude. I remember that game. That was the same kid that used to get run over is now a man, and he's no longer getting run over, and
loving it.
I don't know.
But more than that, it's, yeah, let me tell you something. I had a similar experience with my brother. I wanted to have that, there's just a bond that you have as two brothers that play hockey. There's always a little bit of sibling rivalry, but there's also that, as much as you were proud as a parent, let me tell you, they're going to remember this the rest of their lives, that this experience that they're having playing together. So
I know. I'm
thrilled to hear it.
It did make me very, very happy.
Let me ask you, Randy, when he left, I guarantee you, your younger son walked down that long hallway. I bet you he had his chest out, his elbows back, and just sashayed out of that rink.
And as I recall,
nobody's going to mess with me.
Just so you know, Sergio Leone's score came up in the background. It was like,
right.
Wah, wah, wah. Right. Wah, wah, wah. Just so you know, it was so weird, but I guess that's what happened. And
he got he happened to have a poncho at the time, and yes, a wide brim hat,
and a cigar, and a very short cigar sticking out between his on the craw of his lower lip, you know. And right. It was so weird that all happened at the same time as he left the ice rink. But yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yep, that's awesome. I'm not really surprised, but that's
great. I was a little surprised. I would not have
expected it. It's addicting.
I would not have expected it. I've never seen that kid hit anyone. And the fact that he did it to stand up for his brother, it obviously showed a lot of character. He gets in fights with his brother all the time. He probably would have hit his brother. He probably would have been the one banging on the cage 10 right. minutes later, but well, it doesn't matter.
That's the psychology of it, because, as brothers, you're going to fight. That age difference is exactly very similar to mine and my brothers. We had plenty of sibling rivalry and just annoyance. But when it's that outside factor starts to threaten the family bond, then you see where what's going on underneath it, which is that they're going to look out for each other.
Exactly. So that was my entree story. I will promise that I won't be as involved in this, because this is Lance and you are much bigger specialists in this topic than I am. We're going to be talking about composition of teams and how it changes the experience for the team, how it exchanges the experience for the kids. And how it can lead to either being a really great year for your kid or perhaps a challenging year in some circumstances. So, gentlemen, please take over.
Yeah, well, I just brought up the fact that my son has had a situation where he's had pretty much every different type of experience, from knowing 90% of the team as teammates from the year before, playing with some of the same kids for a number of years on the same team, playing for the same coach for multiple years, to going to teams a couple years where he did not know any of the kids on the team before he joined. And those are very different experiences and can be problematic. So,
and which one is the problematic one? Because I have my own opinions.
Well, I'm glad you asked that. I don't want to say one is problematic and the other, that there's different potential outcomes. I will say that where's the kind of like pitfalls in the team where your kid's staying on the same team for a bunch of years? The potential pitfalls are that your kid kind of gets pigeonholed as being the kid that does X. In some cases that becomes a thing where the coach sees your kid as a certain type of player with a certain level of capacity. And you might not agree. You might think that, I'm seeing my kid developing all these ways. We are working with other coaches, and yet he's not going to get this opportunity to ever explore this part of his potential because the coach doesn't see him that way and isn't going to give him that opportunity. And you could just be stuck. And then, and I've had the experience of being like in one place where the kid was sort of seen as a particular kid, and go to a different coach, and suddenly that coach sees the kid entirely different. and the kid's getting opportunities that they, that you just know, even if you liked the other coach and thought that did a decent job, you just know that coach was never going to give your kid a chance. So there's a potential pitfall there. Now, conversely, on the other side of it, that there's a potential pitfall that if your kid comes in and they're new, the coach doesn't have any experience with them. Anything that they see that maybe they don't like can probably be amplified because there's no other experience that they have with them. And you can get pigeonholed on the other side of is just being a kid that that the coach sort of doesn't have a lot of faith in because they don't have any experience or background. They haven't seen the kid. You haven't seen your kid do anything great ever. So they don't, you know, they don't know that they may not even think that they have it in them. And like I had a coach tell me that my kid was a particular type of player. And he said, we had a conversation about this. At one point he said to me and my son, I know how to get you from here to there. And I know the way you need to play. And basically the way you need to play is blah. And I listened to it. And my thought at the time was, you have no idea what you're talking about. You don't seem to have one clue what type of kid my son actually is. You're saying my kid has no particular skill set in doing X. And meanwhile, you've seen my kid and you've been working with him for a few months. I've seen my kid my whole life. Like, you didn't see all the things I've seen him do. So I just knew at that point, like, okay, this is not the right place for us, because this guy's made this decision that he's kind of pigeonholed my kid as being X. And I guess, you know, I don't want to say that I'm impervious to what all parents are liable to be victims of, which is, you know,
I've found you to be very pervious to many things, Coach.
Just so you know,
there's been a lot of times when I've been like, damn, Coach is pretty pervious. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. And that's what I would say, a very near fetched.
Just a fetched idea, I think, is what it is.
If you notice, we've talked about this before, that, you know, people often say far fetched, but near fetched. No. Anyway,
when an idea is completely believable, Coach.
From the great George Carlin.
That's awesome. I love
it. Anyway, listen, I can, you know, I can be like any other parent and, you know, be unwilling to see things maybe that, think that my kids, you know, better or more important than other people might think that they are, blah blah blah. You know, yeah, it's my kid. I'm going to be on his side and maybe not be able to see things that other people see more clearly than I do. But in this case, I think I've been pretty good at being able to step back from it and look at it somewhat logically and just say, yeah, you know, I don't think you're seeing you've really got the right kind of take on this. And, you know, especially when you're telling me that the kid has, you know, no strengths in particular areas where I know that's really actually where he's very good if given the chance, and that there's other areas that he really needs to work on. So anyway,
that's a very near stretched argument, Coach. I believe that is exactly what you need to hear.
Yes.
Yeah. I meant there's a lot of coaches out there that, like you said, I'd love to, like, we got to get a coach on the show, because there's coaches that make decisions sometimes that like you said, as a parent, we're completely baffled by it. And the few coaches that I've had an opportunity to engage with always had an excuse, always had a reason and a justification for the decision they made. And honestly, I would walk away going, well, that's the biggest crock of S I've ever heard. I mean, he has no idea what he's talking about. But what I was going to tell you, Coach, is that, you know, from our perspective, we've been on both sides of that coin. And I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think two episodes back where Kathy said that my wife said that her favorite experience was the Ducks. I think part of the reason for that was that our coach, you know, they played several years with the Ducks, and the coach really, truly for our boys, you know, kind of let them chart their path. And the path was charted by the way they performed. And, you know, and when you were performing well, you know, he rewarded that. And when you weren't performing well, you know, you paid a price for it. And so with the Ducks, everything that my sons thought they were and should be, those coaches gave them every opportunity to step up and do that. But then we've also been on the side, coach, like you said, like, you know, we've played for a team, you know, came in and they were one type of player, and the entire season they're playing them completely opposite of what the Ducks coach would say the type of player that they are and the type of player that they thought they were, what we as parents thought they were. And then you go into the second year, like you said, or third year, and you can't, you know, at least in our experience, we couldn't break that coach's opinion. He was set in stone that this is who your kid is. This is how he needs to, this is how we need to play him. This is going to be his role. And, you know, and my kid could go in there and have a hat trick three games in a row, but like, no, but that's not his role. He really needs to stick to this and that. And I don't know why it is that when they get set in their ways, like it's almost impossible to change their mind. It is what it is. And at least for us, the only resolution was like, all right, well, if that's the way you feel, and no matter what he does, it's not going to change your mind, we'd rather move on and find a coach who's more open-minded. And that's what we did. We found a coach who said, you know, I see why you think he's this type of player. And we agree, you know, he does appear to be that type of player. They played him like the Ducks played him, and he was hugely successful. I think that's what helped him get his college commitment, was the fact right. that we didn't overstay our welcome, and we could have stayed and had him continue to fight to prove that they had him in his box. And but we knew it was, at least in my case, I felt it was a losing battle. So we made a jump to a coach that was kind of like-minded, and it paid a ton of dividends for us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That you get your, you know, and also opportunities. And I wonder how many people have experienced this. And I'm not going to make it like personal about my kid, but there's been teams that my kid has been on where I got to think a lot of people have had this experience where the team's maybe losing more than they're winning. It's a little bit of a struggle. And what do you see? The coach made the decision of who's going to be on the power play the first, you know, practice probably. And your kid's sitting, maybe they're on PP2, maybe they're not ever getting out on the power play. The kid's playing and the power plays, PP1's going out over and over and over again, and they're not scoring. And not only they're not scoring, they're giving up like shorthanded goals, and the team's going backwards in these situations. And you sit there and you're just waiting.
I know what game you're thinking of, coach. I know exactly what game you are retracing.
I didn't have one, but you and I both definitely had a year.
We were there. Yeah.
And so you're sitting there and you're just going, and then you're taking, like, you're thinking back to what so many coaches say, which is, well, I'm running a meritocracy here, and I'm going to give people the chance, and the people that are playing and performing, I'm going to elevate them. And if your kid's playing better, I'm going to see that, which I think is what you're saying, Lance, which is no, in many cases, not only are you not going to see it, you don't want to see it. You don't care. You made up your mind a long time ago about who's got what role on this team. The last thing you want to see
exactly
is that you were wrong. You don't want to deal with that. That's a hassle. That means you got to mix up lines and, you know, maybe there's somebody who's, I hate to say it. Maybe there's somebody who's, you know, like, paying for your kids to do expensive privates every, you know, 6 days a week or something. And so the last thing you're going to do is demote that kid or whatever. I don't know what the hell's going on half the time in some of these teams, but they don't want to deal with that. So it's almost like they just sort of ignore that this is going on. And it's very frustrating. It's extremely frustrating when you're on the outside of that and you're just going, can my kid get a chance? Could you even coach him? I mean, there's 1 year where my kid, basically the coach told myself and my kid, you will never be a special teams player on my team this entire year. And we would have practices where the coach would spend literally the entire practice working on special teams. And I remember it finally came to a head in a practice that I watched my kid sit on a knee for about 50 minutes out of a 60 minute practice. And I just lost it, which I've never really done, but I was finally to the point where I was like, are you kidding me? Like what? That is not coaching. You got to find a way. You don't sit there and tell me that that's okay. Like literally one kid out of the entire team is going to sit on a knee for 50 minutes.
Do you guys mind if I get us back to the topic though? I mean, talking about composition, but composition of team is like, you were saying that, having more kids that are from the last year or from the next year, and how that changes your experience on the team. And I understand, coach, it is the topic, but I'm trying to lead you a little bit more towards,
what Lance has to say about this, but we go. I'm just saying to people that, you got from A to B to C. Maybe you're making a point. Like, did that get to that situation because of the composition of the team? Well, in that case, my kid was on the same team with the same coach for a bunch of years.
Because here's, like you said, the composition. I'll give you the composition of, like the first year we were on a team, it was almost an entirely new team except for three players. Everybody was new. Nobody had played for the team except for these three guys. I'll let the coach decide, who do you think the first line was?
The three guys.
Of course. Not only were they the first line, but they were the first line power play, the first line penalty kill, the first line everything. So when it comes to composition, I think it depends on the situation. Because when you're part of a good nucleus and everyone gets along and everyone knows what their role is and accepts their roles, it's a wonderful experience to play multiple years with the same guys. There's just so much chemistry and camaraderie. But when you're that one guy, rolling from year to year and you think you're being underutilized, undervalued, then it's not a good thing. You're better off going to a team where you're the new guy. It's like a whole new team of everybody's new. You know what I mean? Competing for attention.
Well, the other thing I want to bring up about this is that, so I think, I mentioned that my kid has a lot of comfort with this particular team with this year because the coach already knows my son from coaching him. He already had a lot of success, and I've already seen the coach give him lots of different opportunities. It's not, I wouldn't say that he feels it's perfect, but it's a good situation for him. And also he knew all the nucleus of the other kids that came over. Now it just so happens that there are other kids that aren't in that situation. They're new to the team. And I think that what you have to realize if your kid's the one that's new to the team is there's a whole level of pressure that they're going to feel that they're not going to feel on that team where they have more comfort level. So that is a potential problem because especially if it gets,
my daughter actually was talking about how she gets nervous when she's around these two that they're older and they're on the team, but she's nervous when she's out with them. So I understand what you're talking about there too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got kids that know each other. They're comfortable with each other. You don't know anybody. You're trying to make friends and you know, depending on what kind of kid you have, you might have a more introverted kid that can be like very difficult and uncomfortable and have them feel a lot of extra pressure beyond the pressure that they already feel, where they're trying to establish with the coach that they're a good player. And especially if at the beginning of the season, the puck's not going the right way, or maybe they're not on the line they'd hope to be on, that it just adds to, you know, that. So, I mean, I do think that you can come in and everything aligns and it works great and you get to where you want to be. But I also think that you got to be a little more concerned about the mental health aspects of your kid in these situations where you just got to realize how much pressure they're under. And I'm speaking, you know, mostly about like older ages where kids start to go away to these teams and, you know, and that's what happened with my kid. He went away to other teams where he was not, you know, he was no longer living in his, where we were, and he was billeting and that kind of thing. And just realizing, hey, you know, there's a lot that they're dealing with there. They're going to maybe a school and they're having to get to and from and get their own meals and do everything for themselves. And then they've got this situation where they've got to try and find a, you know, carve out a role for themselves on the team and have success and all that. And I think maybe it's easy to realize, to overlook how much pressure that can, how much of a pressure filled situation that can be.
Right. You know, you know, when you go to a new team, I think it's tough. So I think as we were changing teams, it just seemed like, if you're like the new kid on the block, you, like you said, there's a lot more pressure. You got to prove yourself. You got to fit in. You know, it's a lot easier when you're part of the returning group, you know, from year to year, you know, because you already got your place on the team, you know, it's very comfortable. So I think it's easier. And then imagine if you're part of a group of guys, four or five guys that are coming into a team, and the other 12 or 13 have been there for multiple years. It's a tough situation, and you really got to step up and prove yourself, as opposed to you join a team where basically 90% of the team are all new players. You know, everyone's new. Everyone wants to fit in. Everyone wants to, you know, make friends with everyone else. It's a lot easier, I think, of a transition.
Yeah. And in your experience with the prep school stuff, that was mostly kids not knowing each other. Would you say that was kind
right.
of how it
worked
out?
I mean, that one, I think it was really the advantage for us, because we had debated, if you remember, going in early or waiting. And the advantage of going in early was there was only one returning kid who had played at the year before. And everyone else, like you said, was from, they were all from all over the country. But they, if they didn't know each other, they knew of each other, you know, because it is, especially at like the AAA level, it's kind of a small community. So they all kind of knew of each other. But we know kids that jumped in like the next year and went to the top team. And, you know, they're on a team with 20 players, 19 are returners. And this kid, and I remember telling the dad that I thought he was making a mistake. You know, his kid's good enough to be part of that, but it's going to be hard for him because everyone is returning. Everyone has a role. Everyone knows their place. You know, I told him, why not come to the lower team where your kid's going to dominate and mm-hmm. he'll be the number one guy. And but they felt they knew best, and the kid had a horrible year, you know, because like we talked about, the coach kind of had his set people who did everything, and this kid was just kind of like the third wheel, and was just kind of
I mean, I think that's another thing that can happen with certain teams is that coaches, they know they have a really good nucleus. And so then they go, well, you know, we got to here last year, but we lost in the finals. And then, so what do they think? You know, what can we do? You know what we got to do? We got to just upgrade that. You know, if only our third line was like 10% better, if we could just get rid of kid X and bring in kid Y, that'll be different. But right. And then you end up being the parent of kid Y. And what you don't realize is all they were looking for was just that 10% better on line three that they already aren't going to play that much.
Right, exactly.
In other words, your kid's they're not looking at it as I want to bring in, you know, a kid with more potential and really, you know, give him a lot of opportunity and coach him up and make him a much better hockey player. I just want a team that we can win that championship this next year because we were right there. And you don't realize you're just that widget being plugged in there, man. That's going to be your year. It might not be very good.
Exactly. I mean, imagine going in on a team that has Sidney Crosby. I mean, do you really think you're going to get more ice time than him and take his center spot? You know?
Well, you're not. Yeah. If your kid's a center, you're not taking over for Sidney Crosby. Now, if your kid's a wing, that might be great because you might end up playing with Sidney Crosby and then they're going to have a great year. But anyway, all right. Well, do you think there's part of this we haven't touched upon?
Well, I don't think either of you talked about the new Apple Pro Max that just came out. Anybody have any ideas on that?
I have a Pro Max. It's a quite a nice machine. Yeah.
Is it a 15 or a 14? Or did you get the new one?
Yeah. No, I got the M2. I spent way too much money on this thing.
Well, here's the important question. How many video highlights of your son can it hold?
I think it can hold as many as your kid can produce. Why you have technology is to, take it to the hockey rink.
It doesn't have a super huge disc comparatively, but the speed of rendering of stuff is just insane. It's like, you know, because I have my old 2012 MacBook, and that thing was like, you know, I'd get a clip on there and try and transcode that thing, and you often go out and, you know, get a sandwich and it's still working on like a 8-minute clip or something, and then this thing, you know, it's done in real time practically. I kid you not.
The son just got a new MacBook too. He just got the oldest son just got a new MacBook. So I'm considering getting the new Pro Max is the phone. The new 15 just came out.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant
The kid just got one too. So I mean, the computer's fine too. But I'm on the fence. I'm on the edge. Do you have any advice for me?
Let me ask you, Randy, whether you should get the new iPhone. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Does the phone come in a flip phone?
No, it just comes in one version, and that is expensive.
Yeah, there you go. I was gonna say, I think I still have a flip phone.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I was thinking how many hockey memories
I was watching my kid and he ended up in a shootout, and I was filming it, and so I had the moment, and afterwards I wanted to share or get the video that I had taken of this to review it and kind of see if I could see better what happened, because of course in those situations it's hard to contain your suspense and the emotions going into it. So I got the video and I, you know, pulled it off the phone, and I was like, what the heck? Like, this is 720p. What's going on? I have this phone. It's, it's not the latest greatest, but I'm like, why do I have a 720? And I was thinking, is there something wrong with how I'm extracting it? Sure enough, I find out that, hey, my phone could literally apparently take up to 8K video. but I'm so incompetent in my understanding of what I was doing that I actually had it in a mode where it was only taking 720 P video. And I'm just like, you know, this is just really an indictment of my technological.
Yeah. Don't let that happen to your dads out there. Just so you know, I had a situation where I felt pretty bad about my life because of technology. Boy just turned 21. I left him a voicemail, poured out my heart to him. Called him up, said, did you listen to my voicemail? And he started laughing. I was like, well, what do you mean, Dad? I'm like, did you listen? I've never listened to a voicemail in my life. hey, everyone, hey, come around. Dad left me a voicemail, he said. Hey, Maggie, have you ever listened to a voicemail? No, I've seen him in movies. Get dear, you seen a voicemail? No, I've never listened to a voicemail in my life. I'm like, great. Thanks, guys.
I got to say. He sounds just like me. Yeah. I don't listen to voicemail either.
But, a pain in the ass, though. I couldn't believe, you know, it was his birthday. I left him this long voicemail. Didn't listen. He says he never will as well. You know, so
instead of going, I will go review that right away, Dad. I like that he just laughed and just, did you think I was ever going to listen to that? Like yes. The old man, like,
right.
You not realize, like, nobody listens to
you. Oh, boy.
How far do you have your head up your own ass, Dad? So, yeah. That was it.
Yeah. So, you know, there's me being able to easily have taken 4K, but no, I don't understand how to even turn on the correct. And then I messed around with it for quite a bit of time. And I did manage to get it to, I think, to do at least 1K, but I'm like, even when I was reading how to do this, I apparently still don't understand how to use my own phone.
I really like the video from Apple. My wife has the 14 Pro Max and like, I just love the video. It's just really smooth, beautiful. Yeah. I can just see it.
I mean, it's amazing what these phones are capable of today, but then I will say like, okay, that's the giant phone, right? It's like, it's like a phone. Yeah, no.
It is I cannot do that. They hand you a brick. They don't. You don't even need a film phone case anymore. They just push it into a brick before it goes into the oven, and it comes out, and then it's encased in brick.
Yeah, and then you need some kind of a satchel attachment to be able to support the weight of that.
Exactly. Thing. Yeah, you get a gimbal. You get a gimbal that goes in front of you, so you don't have to lift it. Yeah. So it's a big process switching back to Apple, but I might be doing it, guys. I don't know. I'll let you know next week.
All right.
Well, hey, if you want your son,
I'm sure
to listen,
want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And if people on the show would like to know what I'm wearing, I do want to kind of get into that just for a moment, if you don't mind. Okay.
Do we really want to know?
I don't know. You're going to have to find out. So can you remember like the night shirts that they had like on I Love Lucy and stuff like that? The old 1940s night shirts.
Right. Would they include the cap as well?
No, but I'm bringing them back. I've got on one right now. It's like very late where I am, and I've got on a nightshirt that goes down past my knees. I am sitting right now pretty in a 1940s nightshirt.
That's nice. Fantastic. Now listen, I love it. Later this evening, when you're visited by three ghosts.
Yeah. No, I know. I can get out like one of those old fashioned candle holders, and I can just walk with them, and they'll be like, "Oh, you fit," you know, like
right.
Yeah. Okay. Right. This Dickensian, or I don't know. What
listen,
it would
be. If your old friend Jacob Marley shows up.
Yeah. No, I'll let him know.
I don't know if it's the best thing to let him in. I'm just saying.
I don't think you have a choice
go back
with
to
ghosts.
Sleep.
I think with vampires, you have a choice. You can say vampires, no, stay out. But with ghosts,
don't let them in.
No, but with ghosts, I don't think you have any power over. I mean, you'll have to help me with the lore and the mythology, but I really
You're supposed to put salt around, right? Okay. That'll keep them out.
I didn't know. Whatever.
I watch Supernatural.
Okay, research this for me, gentlemen, if you don't mind, because I really am worried that this is going to happen soon, especially in this outfit. So if you guys could just take a little time, figure out the ghost versus vampire, how do you block them from getting in? And we'll talk about it next show if we have some extra time.
By the way, Randy,
you make a good point because October's coming up, and
Halloween. It's
All Hallows Eve and all that stuff. This is where you're going to have to deal. And also, people, I mean, you've got to be able to properly classify. Like, are you dealing with, let's say, a specter?
Yeah,
or a banshee.
Right.
There's, you know, it makes a difference.
Yes, apparently. It absolutely does. And, you know, there are a bunch of different things out there. And hopefully by next episode.
Uh-oh.
He got beeped out. I think Randy.
I know.
Right, sir. Please email at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. And we really appreciate you folks listening to us. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts, even when those hearts are a little bit sad because we've been watching too many bad hockey games on Live Barn. We still thank you from the bottom of our hearts. So thank you all, and we will see you next week with episode 11. And Coach, just chime in. Season?
3.
God damn it.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.